joining us right now, here to, you know, dive into this, just a little slip into the Pentagon and defense. Roxana Turan joins us right now, Bloomberg government senior defense reporter. Roxana, do you perceive, I mean, Lockheed, I get, it's a defense company. Do you perceive Boeing as a defense company doing commercial jets, or are they a commercial jet company that happens to talk to the Pentagon?
Well, it's good to be with you. I, from my perspective, I view it as a defense company just because of the nature of my job. commercial is a very, very big part of Boeing's work.
Is defense booming right now? I mean, the budget's out of control and all that. We're building out in four Philippine bases, the Pacific Rim, South China Sea. There's this terrible war in Ukraine. Is your beat in the Pentagon, is it a boom economy?
It is. In large part because of the Ukraine war and because the defense industry is cranking out munitions and vehicles and drones. From that perspective, it's definitely humming. And also in preparation for, what might happen in the Pacific region and with Taiwan. So they're laying sort of the bricks now for what might be coming, 2027 and on.
All right. So, Roxana, the Senate, it's racing to approve a massive $886 billion defense authorization this week. What else besides defense stuff is in this bill?
So there's a lot in this bill because it's considered a must-pass legislation in Congress because it authorizes military pay. It authorizes, pay for those who are in harm's way and military construction. So it's considered the one bill that always passes every year with bipartisan support. So this is attracting a lot of provisions, right? So far, they've been able to keep non-defense related amendments and provisions at bay. Some of them don't sound like they have, a defense component. But for example, last night they passed provisions that would require U.S. firms to notify the Treasury Department in advance of their investments in China or secure transactions in China. They voted on a provision to ban China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia from buying U.S. farmland. They carry an entire, basically they approved the entire State Department authorization bill as well. So you have a few things. There's obviously targets there. There's some targets on crypto, some targets on consumer banking, but those are way more controversial and a lot harder to agree to pass in the Senate at this moment.
So what are next steps here? Again, this is a bill, as you mentioned, kind of always gets passed for a variety of reasons. What are next steps here?
So they've been working on a list of basically they're looking at approving more provisions to the bill, more changes to the bill. They have a list of, more than a dozen amendments that might come up for a vote today or tomorrow. And then that might be it. They're looking at maybe potentially having a bunch of amendments in a package that basically gets voted on, by voice vote, by unanimous consent by the senators. These are fairly non-controversial amendments. But so far, there's been no movement on a second package of amendments and no movement on more votes. They have one more vote today on protecting troops from debt collectors. And from debt collectors harassment, and then it's an open road, basically. They've been working for a few days now.
Roxana, have they carved out something that we could identify as Ukraine funding? Is there something that is that distinct, or is it just kind of all blended in there?
So the Defense Authorization Bill authorizes $300 million for the Ukraine Assistance Security Fund. And the reason for that is that the administration has specifically said they need an emergency supplemental to fund Ukraine. They can't fund it through the regular bills because they don't have the predictability of what might happen next year. And they're in the middle of a counteroffensive, so they need to move fast.
Roxana, one final question here. I'm just looking at the base pay and then all the build-outs of an Army captain. From where you sit, are they getting lots of add-ons to a base pay which seems absurdly low, or are we underpaying the officers of our military?
I think we're generally, and you'll find this, you know, said by lawmakers as well, we're generally underpaying the military, and not just the officers. The officers might not be the bigger problem. It's the enlisted people where also you see there's a huge recruiting issue in the enlisted ranks as well. And yeah. Part of that is the pay, and part of that is they right. do get a lot of benefits, but the base pay is very, very low.
Right. Roxana, thank you so much. Roxana Tiron with us today. Here on the Pentagon and all.